I've done 5 marathons, and at the end of every marathon, it's the typical, oh my God, why did I do this?
Diz Runs Radio, episode 594, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is once again brought to you by the good folks over at DKMS, who are doing their best to get rid of blood cancer and blood disease in the world. And they need a little help. They need a little assist from us, because one of the best ways to solve the problem of blood cancer and blood disease is with a bone marrow transplant. A healthy individual donates a little bit of bone marrow to somebody who is battling blood cancer, and that kind of really kickstarts the process of solving the problem of basically, you know, the difference between life and death. And as runners, as healthy folks, we are kind of the best candidates for doing that, for providing that that opportunity to save a life. And what DKMS does is they're all about creating the database of potential donors, and then, you know, seeing that process through when a match occurs. So in order to get yourself into the database, all you need to do is head over to dkms.org and request a free swab kit. They'll send you the kit. You swab your inside your cheeks. You send it back, and that's how they use that information to help determine whether you'd be a match for someone in need. And if so, then they'll contact you and go about trying to arrange that process. But literally, it's no cost to you. The whole process is no cost to you. They cover everything. But in order to give yourself the chance to save a life, you got to be in the pool. You got to be in the database. So head over to dkms.org, get yourself a kit, and join me in the registration or in the database of potential matches and potential people that could save a life. And if you want some more information, you can also text the word amazing. That's AMAZING to 50555. And now we'll go ahead and get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, today's guest is someone that has lived through what for many of us is probably our worst running nightmare, being out for a run and getting hit by a car. And while no one would ever call getting hit by a car while you're out for a run a blessing, the fallout of the whole incident has inspired her to kind of change directions professionally and kind of take up a calling to help others navigate some of the rough patches in their life. And let's not kid ourselves. All of us deal with rough patches from time to time. And she's kind of trying to turn a negative into as much of a positive as it can be and pay that forward. And when she reached out to me recently via email and she shared part of her story, I immediately asked if she'd be up for sharing it, because it's scary. It's powerful. It is a great, I don't want to say a great story, cause it's not a great story. It's a story though. And she obviously agreed. So without any further ado, it is a pleasure to be able to welcome Ms. Deb Westergaard to the show today. Thanks for joining us, Deb. Really appreciate it. And, how are things in your side of the world today?
Hey, Danny, thanks so much for asking me to be on your podcast. This is, it's an honor, really.
The pleasure,
things are good
to hear it. The pleasure is certainly mine. And guys, like I said, we're going to get into the whole nuts and bolts and kind of where we are now. But kind of some of that positive that's come out of it, and kind of connect with Deb, on the social medias and on the website, things like that. MomentumLifeSolutions.com is the website. And, if you just search for Momentum Life Solutions on whatever social media app of choice you prefer, you should be able to find Deb there as well. And we'll have everything linked up as we always do in the show notes for today's episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/594. If you want to connect with Deb, maybe inquire about how she might be able to help you, or just kind of hear more about her story, tell her your thoughts and share maybe your experiences as well. So Deb, without any further ado, the way we start off the show, you know, you've listened to episodes in the past. You're familiar with how things work around here. It's with the same question for every person, and it just gives us a nice place to kind of leap from and see which way the conversation goes. And it's just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
I'm going to give you a little different spin on this one, because normally I would say on the road, you know, everybody says the half is challenging, you know, it challenges you enough and you have to train. But I mean, for most people, you can not necessarily crap it out, but you can make it happen. But I like the Ragnar Trail Relay Run. That is my favorite distance.
Okay. That may be the first time that I've had that answer. So
distances.
Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah.
Right. I just love, not so much the van, and I'm sure there's van lovers out there that love that camaraderie and team and, you know, hey, we're going to go from Napa down to Los Angeles or wherever they go. But for probably 5 years now, my team has done the Tahoe Ragnar Trail Relay, and it's like family getting together. All our teammates are just our family. They're there for you. We all train together. We play together. We're all musicians. So our band name is or our team name is Band on the Run. And so we, if you're a Paul McCartney fan, then you know that song. But we all go up to Tahoe and just have a great time. And you run your loop. You start at 8 o'clock in the morning or whenever, and you run through the night and you end when you end. It's just a great team bonding, building experience. And we absolutely love it. So I think that's my favorite, at least trail. And, and then you could say half is pretty good. I've done 5 marathons. And at the end of every marathon, it's the typical, oh my God, why did I do this?
Right.
Why did I sign up for this? I'm never going to do this again. And then of course you sign up.
Of course. Many a person has fallen victim to that. And I am one as well. Though I've learned to not say never will I do that again, because it's inevitable. I set myself up for failure by saying I'm not gonna do that again. Talking about the Ragnar Trail Relay though, it's something that I've heard a couple people talk about it at various points. I think I've talked to one or two people on the show that it's come up during the course of a conversation a bit. And I'm kind of kicking myself because I believe, and I've done a little bit of base research, but I believe that there's a trail Ragnar that's like literally like 30 minute drive from my house, maybe 45 minutes if you get stuck behind a truck on a 2-lane road.
Right.
So it's something that I should probably be more familiar with and maybe think about doing at some point, because it would be a lot of fun. But what is, for those that aren't aware, because like I said, it wasn't long ago that I had no idea that I thought Ragnars were only on the road where you're in the van and you're moving, you know, city to city, whatever. For those that maybe haven't heard about the Trail Ragnar before as well, can you give a little bit more of an overview? It's so everybody kind of sets up camp on a trailhead, and then how do things go from there?
Yeah, correct. They you go up and set up a camp, like a base. And then they usually have like a village with merchants and, you know, a bunch of like a fire pit, and everybody can hang out at the fire pit. And then they have a transition tent in the village. And you run 3 loops of, various degrees of difficulty and elevation and length. Green loop is usually around 3 to 4 miles. The yellow loop is 5 to 6 miles. The red loop is, you know, 7, 6, 7, 8 kind of length. And then you have a team of 8. If you're crazy psychos, then you do an ultra team. Those are all the guys that pass me and other people on my team. but you can run each trail twice with an ultra team of 4. And then you run each trail once for a team of 8, which is us masters, old people. And then you just start with the first runner, and then you go green, yellow, red, green, yellow, red, green, yellow, red, all through the whole night until you finish.
Gotcha. And everybody does each lap, right? So it's not like somebody can do, right. I'll just do I'll do three of mine. It'll be green or something like that.
Yeah. You can't like load up. Okay. Denny's going to go, you know, green, yellow, red, and just, you know, basically run a little more than a half marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's over 24 hours or, you know, if you're our team, it's about 30 hours. then you've run three loops, depending on what time you come in. And then there's logistics of, okay, this is about your 10K pace. So we can kind of assume you're going to come in at about this time. It helps to get like a whiteboard. So then you can put everybody's ins and outs. And then people kind of know when they're up next.
Right.
There have definitely been times when we've heard the bullhorn, runner so-and-so from team Bear Butts and Trail Nuts, please, you know, report. So,
right.
Yeah, some people don't have, you have to have your runner up in the transition tent, and then that kind of makes things go a little smoother.
Gotcha.
But yeah, gotcha. In between that, it's, you know, if you party, it's a great party, or just hang out with your friends. And my friends are my family. So that's what I love about Ragnar.
Yeah. And what I remember the first time I kind of heard about it is being the thing that was like, wow, this might be really something I could get behind, is the idea, like, you know, when you're doing, if you're doing a road Ragnar, like you've got your team and you're all in the same van or whatever, you've got two vans, but like you're basically just hanging out with your team. But from what I understand, if you're doing the trail one, like all the teams are kind of just shooting the shit together and hanging out. And it's like, that's where you said, like, the party is just going on the whole time.
Oh, it's so great meeting so many teams up there. And you know, since this has become more popular, the Ragnars have become more popular. Definitely we've noticed the Tahoe numbers increasing. And last year it was just so fun meeting. I mean, the energy and the environment and everybody's looking out for everybody. And that's just, to me, that's the best part of running. And that just, that's the sweet spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what makes it.
Like I said, if I keep talking about it, eventually, I'm going to put enough pressure on myself to set up a team and do it. Cause like I said, I mean, it's, you almost couldn't be closer. I mean, obviously unless you lived right across the street from the state park where it's at, but I mean, it's, I don't have the excuse of trying to have to travel or coordinate or things like that. Like, I mean, I could forget something at home, run home, get it, and go back and not even miss, but one transition at the most. Like it's perfect.
Right. And then you could take a shower and be the envy of the whole trail run. And everybody like, why does Denny smell so good?
I wouldn't want to stand out from the crowd that much. So I'd just stink and not worry about it. but yeah, I mean, that sounds like a great event and probably, like I said, something that I should look into a little bit more. Maybe put a Diz Runs team together. Who knows? Getting ahead
there
of myself.
I'm sure you would have plenty of volunteers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now I'm putting it out there. So now people are hearing about it and maybe we'll see. I'll talk it over with the boss first and make sure she's okay before I start making too many promises. But anyway,
we bring our kids and it's so much fun. Just there's so many kids up there too. So bring your daughter along and she'll just totally love it. And like you're always talking about on your podcast, we want to like inspire this, you know, this love of running or fitness or health or conscientious. And the kids see that and they're like, yeah, I want to be, you know, I want to be like my mom. I want to be like my dad. I want to be, you know, I want to do the stuff they do. My daughter was 13 last year and she ran her first Ragnar because she wanted to be like mommy and daddy.
Wow. That's good stuff. All right. Now you're hitting me where I'm gonna have to make this happen, Deb. You're scratching all the right itches for me.
Right. Okay. That's all. I'm done. Right. I'm done. Ragnar.
Yeah. We can continue that conversation after we stop the official chat today, or we can keep it going beyond that. But like I said, kind of getting back to some things a little bit, and maybe now we'll kind of get into the accident a little bit, because obviously, you know, we touched on it a bit in the intro, and it's a big part. It's a big part of your running story. It's obviously a big thing that happened in your life. You're out for a run. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the details are that it was your first marathon that you were training for, and you were just a couple of days out from the race, probably one of the last runs before the race. And you go to cross the street and car doesn't stop like they're supposed to. Is that Do I have my figures and facts there pretty much straightened in order?
This was going to be my fourth marathon that I ran, but I was 15, you know, I was doing better on my training plan for this marathon than I think I had ever done for the first three. Mm. So I was like really looking forward to it. And, you know, as I told the sergeant, when I eventually got interviewed 5 weeks after the accident and the traffic and collision report got closed, I said, "Hey, I've been training 15 weeks for this thing. I was not looking to get hit."
Right. Right. Now, yeah, you were not trying to like, do something to get a settlement or whatever. Right.
This looks like a great day to get hit by a truck, not a car, but a truck.
Right.
So yeah, it was about 3 days before, obviously I couldn't run the marathon. I also had like a 50K trail relay with one of my, with my Ragnar girlfriend, Sarah. And we both had to drop out of that mm-hmm. other. So I dropped out of the marathon and the trail, and, huge shout outs to the races that understood and, you know, either gave me a deferment or refunded my money, right, which was nice and thoughtful.
Right.
But yeah, I was coming up on the intersection. It wasn't an intersection. I'm sorry. It was a pedestrian crosswalk between a park that connects to a school and a little league play field. And I looked north and I saw the truck had turned about 450 feet away, and approached the flashing. It's one of those flashing light crosswalk.
Mm.
I looked south and I saw those cars that already stopped because they saw me approach.
Right.
I was running like slow jogging before I approached the crosswalk, but I stopped to trigger the lights because I know so many people don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it always just breaks my heart when I see kids, you know, going through that crosswalk that don't understand. I mean, yeah, we were all young. We all think we're going
right.
to be invincible and everything, but I know that I'm not invincible. So I hit the light, I waved to the north going traffic and saw the truck was, you know, had just turned. By the time I looked back at the truck to look, you know, left, right, left,
mm-hmm.
he was already at the top of the median. So this is one of those protected medians where there's concrete in the center
mm-hmm.
and there's usually a crossing guard that stands there to cross the kids to school. And I looked right through the windshield at the guy. Like I saw him, hands were 10 and 2. He had his sunglasses on. He was looking right at me. And I thought, oh my God, he's not slowing down.
Mm.
Like he sees me. He's looking right at me. And then my next thought was, he's trying to hurry me up. He's trying to hurry me up because we've all had that, you know, experience where somebody bullies us with their, oh, come on, I'm in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's what's going on here. And I was stepping onto the median, the center of the crosswalk. And I thought, no, I'm going to miss him. And my last thought was, you've got to be fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't obviously finish the sentence. Woke up in an ambulance. Oh. And, first thing I said to the ambulance driver was, so I guess I didn't make it. and the guy's like, nope, but you're here and you got all your teeth and that's great.
Wow.
So yeah, so a lot happened in between there that got filled in with the front facing cam police officer cameras.
Mm-hmm. So one of those, like I said, I can't think of, at least from a running perspective, much, much worse that could happen than something like that. And like you said to me in the email, and you also kind of hinted at here, that it took over a month to get things going as far as the police involved and looking at, you know, what kind of figuring out what happened and you know, legal actions and things like that, but to get a police report filed. And without going too deep into the weeds on it, but definitely kind of mm-hmm. the point across, you know, I know that there's been some frustration, some struggle, some issues with getting the wheels of justice kind of turning quickly enough. And this was a few years ago, at least now. Where does the situation stand now as far as that whole process continuing to play out?
Yeah, it took a turn for the worse when if I can back up just a little bit and backfill a bit. A police officer called in to the trauma unit when I was strapped to a backboard, and they had given me pain medication, I'm thinking. And he's talking to my husband on the phone. And I think our first thought was, oh, good, the guy stopped. Because I didn't even know the guy stopped. Right. I thought he just hit and run, like, or didn't think that he hit me. And he starts asking my husband questions and then Rob's relaying them to me. And I was like, I can't do this right now. I have like a hole in my head. Mm-hmm. And my face looked like Tommy Lee Jones. I look like Two-Face from Batman.
Right.
And my hip, he slammed his front left headlight slammed into my hip. So they were doing x-rays. It was just crazy. And the police officer said, hey, no problem. I'll come by the hospital and I'll catch your statement. I'll get your statement and I'll check out your injuries. And we were like, great, thanks. Mm-hmm. So Sunday rolls around and we never heard from them. And Rob calls up the Davis Police Department and says, hey, so my wife was hit by a car in a crosswalk, by a truck in a crosswalk on Thursday, and we haven't heard from you. Oh yeah, we already completed the traffic and collision report. Well, so what happened? Nobody called to interview us or tell us anything. And they said, yeah, we found that your wife was at fault for the accident.
Wow.
And he's like, how is that possible? She was in the middle of the crosswalk and she was thrown 25 feet.
Right.
Like by the truck hit her. And then, you know, he was just like, nope, she needed to make sure that she could make it across the crosswalk in enough time. And we have a witness that says she darted out in the middle of the crosswalk without looking and she was running and she didn't hit the flashing lights. He goes, that's not what happened. And he said, well, now you're trying to change her story. And so that was when we filed a citizen's complaint at the behest of the auditor, our city auditor. And that was how I actually got interviewed then.
Mm.
And in that interview, I met a sergeant, the reviewing officer, and we met at the crosswalk. And he said, you know, show me what happened. Tell me what happened. And I showed and I told him, okay. And he said, well, I heard you were training for a marathon. And I said, yeah, I wasn't looking to get hit either. And I certainly wasn't asking for it. And he goes, yeah, I have some friends that run marathons and they're all a bunch of risk takers. And I just looked at Rob like, seriously, he just said that. Did he like, am I on candid camera? Because I can't believe he just said that. So there were things leading up to it that kind of showed us, you know what, I understand that officers don't like being questioned. That's a whole part. You know, you're not supposed to question them. You're not supposed to question their authority or their expertise. And I have great respect for their expertise. But when you've made a mistake, there needs to be transparency and there needs to be accountability. And when he went back and did this citizen's complaint reinvestigation, they re-interviewed the driver, the witnesses, and they found another witness. They found that the witness that said, you know, I did everything, I got hit on the wrong side of the truck, which is proven in the video that I got hit on the left side of the truck. I don't know what I saw, was what he said the second time. I must not have seen things right. And at that opportunity, the police had every chance to say, you know what, Mrs. Westergaard, we're terribly sorry. We got this wrong. We had you in the wrong place in the intersection. We, you know, we're going to clear this up.
Right.
And they didn't. They dug in their heels and they stuck to their guns, no pun intended, on the situation. And that, I think, was when the jumping off point of this whole thing.
Right.
It was. Yeah. That would be.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I mean, it's obviously what a not fun situation for all parties involved. And something that, is just, you know, on the one hand, it's easy to say, you know, thankfully you're okay. You know, and from that side of things, certainly, but on the other side of things, you know, like, how can we prevent this from happening again? By and part of that is getting the story straight, so that if changes need to be made as far as traffic flow or flashing, whatever it is, you know, you can kind of try to address that. And obviously, as this has played out, that's just been a difficult process to go through.
And I think that, and it's kind of interesting. I've stepped back and I obviously have gone on many runs where, you know, I couldn't complete the run without breaking down. Why me? Why did this happen? Questioning myself and, you know, and then, you know, having to come back around and go, no, you're not a risk taker. Mm-hmm. You're not, you know, irresponsible. You're not unsafe, you know. And life just throws at you these totally unexpected, like it was bad enough, like you're saying, to be hit by a truck and have to recover from those injuries. But then you now have to deal with this completely unfair situation. And some people would just say, you know what? I don't care. I don't care what the police think. I don't care what anybody thinks. And, you know, I think I had to kind of get to that point. But in that process, I had to stand up for myself. I had to be able to, you know, go to bed at night and hold my head up high in this community and say, you know what? No, I'm not going to let you bully me.
Right.
I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly a tough situation and coming out of it, like you said, you've gone on many runs since then. Has, for lack of a better way of asking this, I mean, it was probably up there for some of the worst questions I've ever asked, but how has running changed for you since, has running changed for you? And if so, how since the accident?
You know, it's, oh, that's a good question. You always ask really good questions, Denny. it's definitely made me go through with things. Like, it's made me accountable every day, because I had a pretty intricate, like, plan set. I mean, who doesn't want to go to Boston, right? You've talked about this all the time. Everybody wants to go to Boston. Well, maybe some people don't, but, you know, that would be at that, you know, top of the list for me. And so I also wanted, it to be known that I'm not going to let this define me. I'm not going to let this collision define who I am and make me a victim. There's so many people I know that take something that's happened to them, whether it's, you know, something as big as divorce or cancer or addiction or whatever it is, and then they grab hold of that like it's a piece of coal, and they just hold really tight to it. Mm-hmm. And they make it a part of them, almost like a grudge. And that's the thing that they use to define them and use that as excuses to not go and do things for other people or make themselves a better person. And I think that's the thing that motivates me to get me out the door, is I don't want to be defined by this. Hey, you're the lady that got hit by the truck.
Right.
You know, I want to be the badass that came back from it and, you know, ran a marathon a year later and, you know, continues to keep running and inspire people and hopefully help people that, you know, are in a situation as horrible as mine. Everybody's situation is different. I mean, and right. It's horrible for you. So, you know, whatever your situation is, that's what you're there to deal with.
Yeah.
Without certainly. Getting too spiritual or religious.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think that's a good reminder is that, you know, it's, you know, just, we're not on a grading scale from one to the next of whose situation is more difficult or whose obstacles are more harder to overcome. Like we all have our struggles, and when you're in it, it might look like something small to somebody else, but it doesn't mean that it's insignificant to you. Like it's still a struggle. So yeah, I love that thought of just, you know, of by you showing that you can overcome this, hopefully that inspires other people to, whatever they're dealing with, whatever it is, if it's a big struggle for them to keep pushing forward. And like you said, not be defined by it, but use that as a stepping stone to overcome and continue to do more. I think that's a great attitude to have.
And nobody has the right to say to you or anyone else or to me, hey, come on, when do you think you're done? You know, I've had one person kind of hint at that to me, like, you know, don't you just think you ought to let this go? And my answer to, and it was a very good friend of mine, and I said, I agree with you. One of these days I will, but until I'm there, you don't have any right to tell me that I need to let this go. Because once you get hit by a truck in the middle of a crosswalk and blamed for it, then you can tell me you can let it go now. And I say that about everything, like, you know, people with, like I said, people with cancer, people that have gone through a divorce, it's their right. When they're done with it, they'll know that they're done with it. I'm done with this. It'll still always be a part of you.
Right, of course.
It'll still be there, but it just might not be as important.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in. And again, I mean, it's each person, the amount of time it's going to take is going to be different, and that's okay. And you, like you said, you don't have to apologize for taking longer than someone else thinks. You go through your own process, and when you're ready to move on, or, you know, like you said, to kind of put it behind you a little bit and focus on new things, you'll be able to do that. I think that's a great thought. And I would love to talk a little bit more, kind of shifting gears a little bit, although still kind of along the same vein, about some runner safety and things for us to, all of us to try to maybe learn a little bit from and keep in mind. But before I do that, I just want to take a quick second and pay a couple bills and thank the good folks from DKMS for once again sponsoring today's episode of the show. Y'all have been hearing me talk about DKMS for several weeks now, for good reason. You know, there's, you know, like Deb just mentioned, you know, cancer is one of those things that a lot of people, whether it's cancer for themselves, cancer for a loved one in the family, but it's something that's out there for a lot of people. Almost all of us probably have been touched by cancer to one degree or another. And DKMS works with blood cancer, which for me is one of those cancers that I haven't heard nearly as much about as some other types of cancers. And what DKMS is doing is working to eradicate it by helping to find folks that would be willing and able to donate blood marrow to somebody who has blood cancer or another blood disease. And that might be the only option to save their life, is to get a marrow transplant and fight the disease that way. And the way it works is really, really simple. You just head over to DKMS.org and you request a free swab kit, which is basically they send you the kit with a Q-tip like things in it. You swab the inside of your mouth, you send it back, all postage paid, no cost to you at all. And then they analyze that and put you in the database. And if you happen to be a match for somebody who's in need, they'll contact you about what it would take to do a donation, which again, no cost to you. All the costs are covered. It costs you a couple days off, probably a week or two off of your training, which in the grand scheme of saving somebody's life really isn't that big of a price to pay to be able to be a legitimate, literal lifesaver going forward. So if you're interested in making a difference and quite possibly saving a life for somebody who is dealing with a blood cancer diagnosis, head over, like I said, DKMS.org, or you can text the word amazing, AMAZING, to 50555 for more information and to get started with the process. So thank you to DKMS for sponsoring the show, and thank you guys for being willing to make a difference in really doing something special through them and saving lives for people that are battling blood cancer. So Deb, like I said, switching gears a little bit, and I don't know I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm sure you've thought about the accident over and over and over again. What could I have done differently to prevent it? Because like you said, you weren't out there trying to get hit by a car that day. That wasn't high on the priority list. And as I mentioned to you before we started recording, I think a lot of us, myself absolutely included, may have a tendency to get complacent when it comes to running on the road. Like, you know, if I'm running on a busy street, I'm obviously going to be a little bit more alert. I'm going to make sure to be looking both ways when I'm crossing roads, even crossing intersections when I know that the cars are supposed to stop. But that said, you know, I would be lying if I said that there's sometimes that I'm not as aware, as cautious, as alert as I should be. So for those of us like myself that have been fortunate enough to not have gone through what you've gone through, are there some things that stand out in your mind that maybe you see other runners do? Or like I said, maybe you've played this over in your mind enough times that you're like, gosh, yeah, like don't make this stupid mistake. You know, don't do these things, you know, that we can kind of maybe learn from your story a bit more and implement into our daily lives for our long runs and short runs and things like that. When we are out there running and roads are open and cars are going by.
And the funny thing is, like, I'm sitting here thinking about it when you're talking, and I'm like, but I didn't make a stupid mistake.
Right. I don't mean to say that you did. I mean to say that I do sometimes.
But that's the thing. It's like, how many times have we been in that sliding doors situation where we're like, wow, boy, that accident just, you know, you'll see an accident on the road. Like, that just happened. If Madison would have just, you know, not would have dropped that toy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we wouldn't have been 5 seconds behind, you know, and you go through that in your mind, like, how many accidents or how many collisions have I missed as a result? And then how many, you know, then how many situations like this come up where I didn't miss, I should have, you know, gotten that drink of water on that 4 mile run that I was doing. Right. If I would have just done that, those are the only things that I kind of look back and go, God dang it. Mm-hmm. If I wouldn't have, you know, been pushing it, or if I would have, and that's the woulda, coulda, shoulda trap that, I talked to a friend who's a therapist and just said, you know, how do you prevent yourself to driving yourself nuts doing this? And that's part of the process. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks that they have control over that, and you don't. Right. I mean, you want to say, well, what happened here so that I can gain some kind of control over this situation and it won't happen to me? And I think, just like you're saying, just being aware, you know, when you come up to a crosswalk, yeah, you know what, your pace is not going to be ripping fast. But like you were saying in a previous podcast, you're not getting medals for training.
Right.
You're not. I remember one of your podcasts, the woman said, don't, you know, you're not killing it in training to get a medal. So take that moment, hit the flashing light, stop for a car, or you know what, let the car go if they're in such a hurry. And they, you know, I've still gone through crosswalks in Davis now where, you know, the car keeps kind of inching forward a little bit, just like, come on, go through the cross. I'm like, nope, that's okay. I'm good. Mm-hmm. You just, please just go right ahead.
Right.
It's not worth it anymore. I mean, especially after seeing what my family and my husband went through. Mother's Day was like 2 weeks after I got hit. Man. And it was just, I'm just choking up just thinking about it. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. But it was great, but it was horrible.
Right. Yeah. It could have been so much worse, but it certainly could have been 1,000 times better too.
Yeah. And I think these are things just like, you know, when we're younger, we have that, oh my God, I'm totally invincible feeling. I could get hit by a truck and be just fine. Luckily I am just fine, right now, but yeah, a little bit, an ounce of prevention will get you home to your family. And people just don't often think of that unless it directly happens to them. It's like, you know, a school shooting or, well, that can't happen in my neighborhood because we do this, 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 and this. No, it could happen. And you don't have control over that. You don't have ultimate control over everything. And I think that's the thing that scares people, is like, but I want to have control over everything. So yeah, I think an ounce of prevention helps. You know, the obvious things, wear the flashing lights, wear the bright colored clothes, run with groups of people, run in opposite of traffic. So, you know, so you can see the truck hitting you when they're
and yes, but also so that you can see that they're not paying attention and maybe dive out of the way, as opposed to them coming from behind you and clipping at you when you don't see them.
And I, the only thing I kind of kick myself for is when I used to work in visual effects. I worked at Industrial Light and Magic for some time in my previous life. And when I was there, I took Kung Fu Sansu lessons with a fantastic man, Andre Salvage. And I want to give a shout out to anybody. It's to Andre and Associates. He's phenomenal. But don't question. Just do.
Right.
You know, don't question, is he going to hit me?
Just get
just
out of the way.
Act. Yeah. Right. Because that second that you use question, is he going to hit me? That's the part that I probably, I had Andre's voice in my head going, oh, Andre, I'm so sorry. I questioned. I didn't just do.
Right.
But, don't question, you know, do what your gut says. And if your gut says, sometimes your gut says, you know what, don't go. Listen to that. Right. Don't question it.
Yeah. And as I've said, probably a little bit more offhanded than I should in the past, you know, cars versus human, a car wins every time. Now, thankfully, in your case, it wasn't a complete victory. You know, it wasn't. You obviously, like you said, you're fine now, at least physically, and able to get back to running and whatnot. But you just, you know, like you said, an ounce of prevention. Like, don't risk it, because you know the car's bigger, the car's harder, the car's more dense, the car is going to win. So err on the side of caution. And if that costs you a few seconds for your split time, small price to pay when all is said and done.
Yeah, I wanted to be Wonder Woman. I really did. Right. I wanted to bounce off the car and, but yeah,
it works in the movies, but not so much in,
it works in the movies.
In real life.
Yep.
So, you know, as we're getting to kind of wrapping things up, but I do want to talk about, you know, like we talked about it earlier, that kind of, you know, since the accident and, you know, you're still in that transition period of putting something together, but you're kind of shifting gears professionally a little bit and getting into, some coaching and trying to help people from a life coaching perspective. Was that a direct result of the accident, or was that something that was percolating around in you before all of this happened?
It's a bit of an amalgam. I got my bachelor's degree in psychology at UC Davis, and at the time, everyone said, oh, go do what you want to do, not what you have to do when you don't have kids and you're not attached and everything. And all I ever wanted to do was, ever since I saw the making of Indiana Jones, was go work for Industrial Light and Magic. And so I hammered away and I got in and, got to, do some wonderful things, at George Lucas's company. I got to be in Star Wars, which is very exciting. They did a blue screen shoot for the remake of New Hope. So that was fun. And then, I kind of transitioned from that into photography, and I didn't really realize until after I stopped professionally photographing for 10 years that the reason why I wanted to get into photography was I love the relationships. I love the connections that people, like, how did you guys meet and how did you connect and what brings you together? I think that's my favorite part about photography, was just learning about those relationships and how they worked. And when I kind of got out of that with the rise of digital photography, right before I got hit, I thought, you know what, I want to try to merge all this stuff together. and do some kind of life coaching and help people with relationships and life and happiness and kind of integrate that with everything I've learned from running and nutrition. And then almost quite literally a month later was the collision, and it just brought everything to a screeching halt with, you know, the injuries, the police, my lawsuit took about a year. The guy didn't have insurance, and the police wrote down that he had insurance on the traffic and collision report, even though he admitted on camera many times he didn't. So I had to fight pretty hard to my insurance company to get compensated. That the police investigation is still going on through an auditor with the city. So that's where that answers that question you asked before. Where's that? So things are kind of coming down a little bit from it. But I've seen so many amazing movements around the country in the last couple of years, you know, Me Too movement, the shootings, Parkland, and it's just so inspiring. And I said, you know what, I have to do something too. I want to do something to, you know, help people out, you know, help people in the situation either that I've been in, or inspire people. Mm-hmm. You know, oh my God, if she can do it, shit, I can do it too.
Right.
So, so I'm starting this up, kind of as an amalgam or a result of all of that. And hopefully it'll be something wonderful.
Yeah.
And helpful and, inspiring. So,
yeah, certainly. And once again, guys, that website, if you want to check out more about what Deb's got going on, still in the, at least as this gets released, still in the early construction phase, the things are going to, as I know firsthand, you know, you start with something and then the website kind of changes and it tweaks and evolves and grows, but you can check that out at Momentum Life. Sorry, I can't read my own writing here sometimes, but MomentumLifeSolutions.com is the website. So as you know, I obviously wish you nothing but the best in that, Deb, and no question that with the story that you have from what we've already talked about today, it's definitely something that you know, I hope I'm confident that can inspire others to you know, do what they need to do and keep moving forward. And so I have no doubt that's going to be successful for you. But as we're wrapping up today, you know. Again, you've listened to the show. You know what's coming. The old philosophical question here at the end. Something that can be open ended, or it is open ended. It can be a short answer, long answer, kind of however you want to go with it. But I feel like maybe we've kind of dabbled around the edge of this question a couple times, and talking about, you know, the returning to running after the accident and some of those types of things. But I would just be curious, you know, to put a bow on things today, to find out what running means to you now. Obviously I hate to say obviously because you never know, but I'm going to assume that kind of accident that you had, that the situation that is still ongoing, changes your perspective on a lot of things. And maybe it changed some of the perspective on running and the importance of running in your life. I don't know if it has or not, but, at this point today with all that has happened and where you are now, what does running mean to you, to be able to go out and go for a run? What does that mean to you?
It is definitely changed. And getting older has changed it. Well, I'm 50 this year. So, you know, I've noticed, and I'm a pretty recent runner. I only started running maybe 42, in my early 40s after I had my second son. And I just kind of looked around and said, I gotta do better than this. I don't want to be that unfit mom that, you know, that my kid looks to and goes, you know, I want my kid to be proud of me. Mm-hmm. And I want me to be proud of me. I mean, right. That has to come first. And I think that's kind of what's evolved in this whole thing is it started with, well, I want, you know, Jack and Gracie to be proud of me, but now it's like, no, you know what? I want me to be proud of me. That's what needs to come first. And I think, you know, being accountable, being intentional, just following through on things, having a training plan, whatever the training plan is. And, you know, if you have to mark off every day and that's your accountability. And yeah, sometimes you fall off, you get sick, like you've said before, you, you're just like, you know what, it's not happening today. I've done that a handful of times. I tell myself, okay, go out for a mile, see how you feel. If you're just like, oh my God, I'm going to throw up through my eyes, I don't want to do this anymore, then head back. Fine. Great. But you went out and you at least did that. And then you don't have to feel like there's this momentum holding you back the next, well, I didn't go out yesterday, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean, making things accountable, intentional, just, you know, not doing it for you and not caring about what anyone else thinks of you.
Yeah.
I think that that's a big part of it. Living your true self.
I love it. And as per usual, hey. I'm not gonna muddy that water at all. I think that's a great way to wrap things up. So that's what we'll do, guys. Once again, MomentumLifeSolutions.com is the website. Look for Momentum Life Solutions on the social media platform of your choice. And once again, disruns.com/594. We'll have everything linked up here. If you want to check out and connect with Deb, see some photos, all that kind of good stuff will be in the show notes, disruns.com/594. So Deb, thanks again for reaching out to begin with and sharing part of your story with me and coming on and being open and honest and sharing some of the, like I said, the things that none of us would like to have happen, but it obviously happened. Mm. And thankfully, you know, all things considered, thankfully you're alive and kicking and able to tell the story and continue to turn that situation into something that hopefully will have positive ripples for many, many years to come. So wish you nothing but the best going forward. Certainly hope that you'll stay in touch. And if there's ever anything we can do to support you, please let us know.
Thanks, Denny. You're awesome.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Deb and myself. And as always, I'd be curious to know what stood out to you from this episode. Now, obviously, this episode is a little different than usual with the story that Deb shared and the story that she's living every day. But that doesn't mean there weren't still takeaways, right? That doesn't mean that there's not still something that you can't learn. And for me, it's just kind of goes back to that idea of it's always better to be safe than sorry. You know, even if you're doing everything right, like Deb did, that doesn't mean that the drivers in that scenario, in that type of situation, that the people behind the wheel are going to obey all the laws or that they're even going to see you. You know, I've talked to friends that have been in law enforcement before, and they've told me that in almost every situation when a vehicle strikes a pedestrian or a cyclist, or basically when it's a car hitting somebody or something that's not another car, not an automobile accident, the driver legitimately didn't see anything. Because one of the things our brains do, I don't know if you're aware of this, although I think I've mentioned this before, is that they're very good at processing out information that doesn't seem like it fits in the scenario. You know, we've all seen those videos where it's like, count the thing that's on the screen, and there's, you know, a dancing bear goes across the screen, and nobody sees it, because we're so focused on counting the dots that appear at different points of the screen. But once you're, you know, because that's what your mind is focused on. And when you're driving, your mind is focused on looking for other cars, other vehicle type of situations that would be hazards. And so what can happen is that some, you know, like Deb said, the driver looked right at her and maybe didn't see her. That's a possibility. And so I don't say that to try to paint Deb in a bad light or anything like that, of course, but I say that to get back to my takeaway of be safe, not sorry. You may be doing everything right, just like Deb did, and still something could happen. So again, if you see that car coming and you know they're supposed to stop and the lights are flashing and you're in the crosswalk and everything is as it should be, is it worth it to take the chance? What's the risk reward? The reward is that you keep your split time on Strava, you know, from being a couple seconds slower. The risk is that the car doesn't see you, the driver doesn't see you for whatever reason, hits you, you end up in the hospital, or worse. It doesn't seem like it's worth it to me. So, and again, this is something that I need to keep in mind because I get complacent. I run in the roads a lot. I like to think I'm operating under the be safe and not sorry principle, but there's been times that I've taken probably unnecessary risks. So that's why this was a takeaway for me. Something that I need to remember. I need to keep in mind my splits, my average pace, all those types of things aren't nearly as important as being safe. And that you know isn't just when it comes to car situations. That's wildlife. That's trail conditions. That's weather conditions. It's all of those things. You know, take a step back, think about the situation, analyze safe, sorry, and when in doubt, err on the side of caution, err on the side of letting the car pass, err on the side of taking an unplanned rest day because the weather looks a little bit too ridiculous for you to handle. Err on the side of walking instead of running down the hill on the trail so that you don't, you know, clip something and break an arm or something like that. You know, just be safe, not sorry. Because we're not invincible. We're not invincible as much as we might like to think we are. So that was my takeaway. What about you? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRun. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And as always, you can head over to the show notes for this episode or any episode and leave your thoughts and feedback there as well. DizRuns.com/594 for this episode. Rapidly closing in on 600. 600 episodes. Can't believe it. But thank you for everybody who's been around and continues to be around and is new to finding the show. We continue to grow, and it feels great, and I have no plans on stopping anytime soon. So thank you guys for listening. Certainly appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed this one, or at least this one maybe got you thinking a little bit, and it can help you be just a little bit safer out there the next time you're out for that run. As always, again, appreciate you guys, and thanks to the sponsors. Thank you guys for supporting the sponsors, DKMS.org. Thanks to DKMS for continuing to support the show. More importantly, continuing to fight the fight against a type of cancer that doesn't get as much coverage as some of the others do, but is certainly every bit as dangerous and impacts lives every bit as much as any other type of cancer that's out there. So thanks to DKMS for supporting the show and for fighting the fight. And now let's officially wrap this thing up. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for going through one of the longest outros in DizRuns radio history. Appreciate you sticking with it all the way to the end. And until next time, please be well, take good care, and have a great run. Whenever your next run is, have a good one. Appreciate you guys. Have a good one. Talk soon. See you.